Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, during the ongoing controversy about the passenger cap at Dublin Airport, the claim has been made by Ryanair boss Michael O'Leary and indeed others that the aviation industry accounts for just 2% of greenhouse gas emissions worldwide. But does this reflect the true impact of aviation on global warming? And what would lifting the passenger cap mean at a time when we are supposed to be reducing emissions? Well, for a deep dive on this, I'm joined by Andrew Murphy now, who's an expert in sustainable transport and a member of the Climate Change Advisory Council. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you for being with us today. So first of all, is it correct to say that aviation accounts for 2% of greenhouse gas emissions? Is that right?
If you count it a particular way, in the most favourable way, you could say that. So as you said yourself, that's globally, which is not the same as if we count it here in Ireland. And that's just encountering a very limited climate impact from aviation, which is the CO2 combustion. Unfortunately, when we fly, there's a greater warming impact as a result of the combustion at altitude.
So when you look at the figures for Ireland, is the percentage higher?
So on just purely greenhouse gas, the CO2 we combust from aviation, yes, that figure is much higher in Ireland. It's between 4 and 5%, depending on the year. Obviously a bit lower during COVID. You know, people say we're an island, so we fly a lot. You know, the reality is we're also a wealthy economy, and wealthy economies, people tend to fly a lot more. So we fly a lot more than sort of globally is average in the world. So yes, flying is a bigger share of those CO2 emissions in Ireland's inventory.
So that 2% looks more like between 4 and 5% if you're talking about Ireland.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So does it capture the true warming effect on the climate of the aviation industry if we are saying that it's around the 4% mark? Because there is the additional impact, isn't there, of burning fossil fuels at high altitudes. There's something happening there that increases the warming effect.
Yeah, and if you look up, particularly on a cold day, you'll see that impact. It's the contrails, those clouds which trail planes. So yeah, as you said yourself, there's a greater climate impact from combusting fossil fuels at altitude. And one of those impacts is the creation of contrails, which traps heat and adds additional warming. There's also other non-CO2 effects, the creation of ozone at altitude. Collectively, they at least double the climate impact of flying on average, but it does vary a lot between different flights. So a long-haul flight at altitude during the night, humid conditions, cold temperatures, that tends to have a greater climate impact than, for example, a short-haul flight here in Europe. And also, those effects are temporary, so they will fade after a few hours or a few days, whereas the CO2 effects last much longer, over 100 years, because the CO2 stays in the atmosphere. So it's a very complex area. It's difficult to make precise estimations, but just because we can't be precise about it doesn't mean these effects aren't real.
Okay, but if we take in the contrail effect and we take that global figure of just above 2%, you can double that then to 4.8%, adding in the contrail impact that you've just explained to us. Then we have particular conditions in Ireland, given that we're wealthy and we're an island. It's bringing us closer to 10% of our emissions.
Yeah, 10% of our climate impact, of our contribution to increasing temperatures. So temperatures have increased globally above 1%, getting close to 1.5. If you look at, you know, how much Ireland's aviation is contributing to that, yes, we are. It is playing an outsized role in that warming we are already seeing in our planet.
Okay, so let's bring it down then to the current controversy around Dublin Airport. You've so many flights coming in and out of there, burning fuel as they fly. So how are emissions calculated at Dublin Airport?
So how they're calculated when Ireland does its emissions inventory is it's based on fuel sold. So anytime an airport in Ireland, Dublin or elsewhere, sells fuel, that's counted in our inventory as a footnote at the end, but it's counted very much in our inventory and counts towards our overall emissions. So it's fuel sold in Ireland. So it's flights leaving Ireland, but it wouldn't include flights landing in Ireland.
So this substantive question then around lifting the passenger cap from 32 million to 40 million passengers, is that going to lead to an increase in the emissions at Dublin Airport?
Yes. Aviation is becoming an increasingly odd activity because today it's reliant 100% on fossil fuels. So, you know, you look at electricity production, you look at private cars, heating homes, more and more you're seeing, you know, low carbon technology, renewables. Aviation is, as I said, unique in being 100% reliable on fossil fuels. So if you do more of it, you are going to have more CO2 emissions. You are going to have more warming effect from aviation until we get to a stage where we're less reliant or not reliant at all on fossil fuels for aviation. You're just going to keep seeing that increase.
So there has been no big development when it comes to sustainable aviation fuel that's likely to mitigate against this.
Unlikely to mitigate against it in the same time frame that the emissions will go up. So we're starting to see some measures be implemented, primarily at EU level, some measures at Irish level. But the important thing to remember is something like this, with new technologies, with new solutions, is that it takes a while. So now we're seeing electric vehicles on the road. Now we're seeing heat pumps in homes. Now we're seeing wind farms. That's because of measures taken by the Irish government and other governments 10 or 20 years ago. So you just have this kind of time lag where it takes a long time for those measures, those policies, those investments to start delivering results. So you lift the cap, you have an immediate increase in emissions, and that won't be offset until these measures come into force. And remember, you know, we talk about an increase in emissions from aviation and offsetting an increase in emissions from aviation. Of course, if we're to be consistent, emissions from aviation need to go down. And last year alone, jet fuel sale in Ireland was up 12%. So we're going completely, you know, the wrong way. We need to do a 180 on our aviation policy, and there's no sign of that happening in the immediate future.
We often talk here about measures to address emissions from agriculture and from farming, and people who work in that sector often say to us and point towards aviation, and they say this is simply not fair because aviation isn't being asked to do what we're being asked to do. Are they right to make that point?
Yeah, I think that's a fair criticism. I think the example from other parts of the economy is that targets and policies work. And so you see that, you see it in the agricultural sector. I think last year their emissions went down 3% because we put in place a climate action plan. We put in place targets for the agricultural sector. Farmer and governments work together on issues around fertilizer use, around organic farming. So we're not yet there with aviation. We just don't have the targets and the measures in place. So it is a fair criticism. And I think people are open to ambitious climate policy. They see the need for ambitious climate policy, but people fundamentally want to see that there's fairness in how the policy is developed and executed. And when it comes to flying, we can't really say there's fairness involved.
Andrew, good to talk to you. Thank you for explaining all of that to us. Andrew Murphy there, who's a member of the Climate Change Advisory Council.